guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Wednesday.
It's Best of Elves Podcast.
That's like the coolest thing I ever heard.
Hello, everybody. Pastor Adam here. Another Wednesday devotional podcast thing. Really want to tell you about great weekend that I had, because it all kind of goes into what I'm going to talk about for this devotional. And we're going to get right into it. But just as a heads up, I may get emotional. I'm going to fight it best I can. I'm just saying it might happen. It's a good thing I can edit this. We have the time. We have the resources, the technology, you know. So I'm going to first start out with this scripture, and it's John 5, and there's a story in that where Jesus heals a disabled man by the pool of Bethesda, and he healed the man on the Sabbath, which was a no-no. Nobody liked the idea of him doing that, especially the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees. They lost their mind. They were not a fan. They wanted to kill him for it. You know, they're ticked off. So let me just read one part of that scripture. So he already does that. And this is when the Jewish religious leaders came and started questioning him. John 5:16 through 17. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So just think about that. My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. And that's a concept that we as Christians, we believe that. We know it. I think we rely on it, that he's always working, especially in the midst of, you know, struggle or hurt or times when we need him. But all too often, I think what he is doing, what he's working on, mostly goes unnoticed, ignored, or taken for granted. And I think we all do it. We all fail all the time at noticing the works of God and what he is doing. Sometimes they're big, huge, you can't not see them things. And other times they're small, yet still important things that we unfortunately look past. Back at my first church, the church that, you know, I came to faith at, my pastor there always started meetings with a thing called God sightings. And we would all go around the room saying where we've seen God working in our lives this past day or week or whatever it may be. And it could be an answered prayer. It could be seeing a beautiful sunset or something in the landscape that we just kind of go, oh man, there's God's beautiful creation. You know, it could be a verse you read in scripture that really spoke to you. It could have been a lot of things. There's a lot of times where we just see God working just in little details that maybe we would see it, somebody else doesn't. So every week we would hear about people's God sightings. And I liked it, and I thought it was good to hear about and focus on. Now, there are times, for like this weekend, for me, for instance, that God says, I want you to really see what I've done. And we all have those stories. Well, I hope we all have those stories. And we all seem to remember these times where we see God working and they stick with us. But then I ask myself, why do I have to see these big things to make, you know, and make a big deal out of it? But I don't see these little instances every day where you are working. Why can't these big God sightings, you know, like remind us every day to look and see you working in my life, in my family's life, in my friend's life? And this all thing kind of stems from this God sighting that I had this past weekend. Started like this. I was taking a nap on Friday afternoon, and my phone just was blown up with texts. Now, I was already in group chat hell So I was trying to ignore it because I've gotten like 8,000 texts over the last couple weeks. It's crazy. But finally, I was like, all right, I guess I'm just not sleeping. I'm getting up because this phone won't let me, you know. So I pick it up and a lot of it, there was a lot from the group chat, but there was a bunch from my daughter, Gianna. And she said, you know, hey, I just found out Hootie and the Blowfish are playing just down the street from my house. And I was like, cool. And then, like, I text her back, are you going to go to it? She's like, I don't know. I'm going to ask my roommates, but I don't know. They might want to go to the soccer game. And so then I'm like, well, would you go to the soccer game? I don't know. So as I assure you, the concert would be more fun than the soccer game because soccer's boring, to be honest with you. I know, I said it. That was kind of it. And then I walk out and I was telling Lauren about it. And I'm like, should I ask if you want me to go? And she's like, you could. So I'm like, do you want me to come up there and go to the concert with you? And she said, that would be cool. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, all right, I'm ready for this. You know, I don't know who's opening and all that kind of stuff, but like get to spend time with Gigi. So get changed, all that stuff, drive to Columbia to go to this concert. And she doesn't know much of what Hootie and the Blowfish sing. She just wanted to do something. Found out that Collective Soul and Edward McCain were opening, and they were solid. It was a good concert, by the way. But when we got there to the arena, she bought the tickets too, by the way. I said I would pay her back and all that because there are a lot of fees that go with it or whatever. And when we got there, we had section 203, WC 5 and 6 were our seats. So we looked forever, couldn't find them. So finally, we asked somebody and they're like, oh, that's wheelchair. So it's the very top row, like the last seats you could get in the arena, like the farthest back. And I think that she was kind of like bummed out because she thought I was going to be like, oh, really? We get these worse. But I really liked the seats. Like, we had comfortable seats. We weren't crammed in with everybody else. Like, you look down and everybody is like shoulder to shoulder. We had room to spread out. We had food we could get out and good sound. We got a clear view of the stage. There's also a big screen to see the close-up. I thought it was awesome. And I told her, I'm like, I would get these seats again, which I think, you know, she was like, oh, he just isn't upset about it. No, I'm not upset about it. So we had a lot of fun. But what you don't know is this, the meaning, you know, the context of what's been going on with Gianna and us for the past few years. So over the last few years, Gianna sort of didn't really want to be around me, Lauren, or Lola at all. Like, when she was at home, she was perfectly happy being in her room or school, at work. She didn't really want to have anything to do with us. There was a lot of like a rebellion going on, a lot of sadness, a lot of frustration. And that was from all of us. But I kind of watched my relationship with her from this, you know, daddy's girl who we did everything together, kind of fade into someone who I couldn't tell if she even loved me. And there was a lot more than that going on behind the scenes, but this is the gist of it, right? So then she goes off to college, and it just somewhat felt like she was getting farther and farther away. Not only by mileage, but like on an emotional level. This year she started, you know, talking more to Lauren and calling and texting her. And I get more texts too and funny videos from Instagram and all that. You know, we would go and visit once in a while, and it did seem like this year she's getting like more of who she was. But then this concert happened. So the next day I am downstairs watching TV, SportsCenter, something like that. Lauren comes down, just getting food ready or whatever. And she goes, hey, by the way, did you see Gigi's story on Instagram? And I was like, no. And she was like, oh, it was so sweet. And then she showed it to me. And I'm going to pop it up on the screen. And it said that I was her best friend. And I just couldn't help but just cry. Because it meant so much to me. And I spent so much of my time the rest of that day when I was alone, you know, just thanking God for this. because that was such a needed God sighting that I had. I was just so happy to know that she really loves me and cares about me, still needs me in some way. So I'm going to keep that screenshot forever. Just like this next photo that I'm going to show you. And this next one also means the world to me. Here it is. This is Lola laughing. This photo came after enduring 5-day episode in Chicago. I think it was 5 days. Could have been six. I don't know. It was a whirlwind. Lola was hospitalized in Chicago when we went to visit. She was having the time of her life at her aunt's wedding. Dancing. I've never seen her have more fun in my life than that night before, you know. But so at the wedding, she's dancing, having a good time, you know. And then she came to me and said she didn't feel good. So we went outside and she was just acting all kinds of weird. And then she just started passing out. And she would come back to consciousness and then pass out again. And this happened over and over and over. And finally, I drove her to the ER to try to figure out what was wrong with her. And hours later, next thing I know, I'm in the ambulance with her being transported to the top children's hospital in Chicago. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. We did all these tests. Then they released her. And a few hours later, we were back in another ambulance going to a different hospital. And then they did work there in that ER and then sent us right back to that children's hospital again. And that's where we stayed for the next 3-4 days, something like that. And she was terrified the entire time. She was, she's scared of most things in general, but this was on a whole new level. They're sticking her with needles and putting her in, you know, MRI machines and CAT scans and testing her literally on everything. There was no sleep for me. I was with her almost the entire time because I was really the only one she wanted there with her. And I would get a half hour sleep here, or an hour. One time when we were in the ER, I was just on a bed next to her sleeping, trying to get some sleep because I couldn't leave her. I was praying nonstop, and, well, pretty much everybody in our family and our friends were praying all the time. Because it was like, we didn't know what was wrong. We didn't know what was going on. How did we know if she was going to get better or what was going to happen? Like, it was a lot of mystery. But then one day I noticed while we were at the hospital that when I got her distracted, like totally distracted from the situation that was going on, she seemed to be a lot better. So as we were in her room that overlooked, you know, like Lake Michigan, you could see there was like, you could see Navy Pier and what was going on. We were on like the 20-something floor. I don't know. But we saw what we thought was a dog park and like across the street from the hospital. And obviously she loves dogs, all dogs. So I decided, you know, we're going to get her distracted. We're going to this thing, right? So I said, get your stuff together. Because she was allowed to walk around. She had like a IV thing or whatever. But we could unplug it and go walk around and then plug back in. So, because we would walk around the floor at the hospital. So I told her to get ready. We're going to that dog park. So we unplugged her, went to the elevators, went down bottom. You know, she was still in a, you know, like a gown, but I had her head, you know, obviously put some pants on and stuff like that. But she still has all these tubes and stuff coming off. So we go to the dog park. She saw these different dogs. She's feeling good and happy. And like we FaceTimed Lauren and I was really good. And then we went back to, you know, after we were down there for like 20-30 minutes, we went back to the hotel room and I just saw like, you know, she was more feeling herself, you know. And by the way, I also found out that I was not supposed to be leaving that hospital. That was not even supposed to leave the floor. Because I said, we're going to go down to that dog park. And they're like, no, you're not. I go, what do you mean? She goes, you can't leave this floor. They'll stop you and all this. And it's like, big deal. And I was like, I didn't tell her that we actually already went. but I think we also got lunch or something. We're out there. Once we got through all that, the trip to the dog park, you know, we started, I kept her getting distracted. She started acting more like Lola. And that's when I took that picture, because she was sitting there on the window sill type of thing, overlooking the different stuff, laughing. Like, that was the first time she was laughing. And it was like a God sighting, reassuring me that he's working in this and she's going to be okay. And I sent it, you know, to Lauren and posted it on Facebook and said, we got our girl back today. And since then, for the most part, she's been okay. And just Monday, a few days ago, I took her to her first rock concert where we saw a heavy metal instrumental band called Galactic Empire. And they play all the theme music and stuff from Star Wars, but in a heavy metal fashion. And she really liked it. And after the concert, I asked if she had fun. She said yes. And I was like, did you have anxiety, any issues? She was like, no. And it was pretty awesome because just, you know, a few years back, that wouldn't have been possible. Seemed like it. But God's always working in our lives. And then, so that's two God sightings. And then third one, and they're all kind of different here. There's no picture that coincides with this one, because this one's regarding my wife. She was at the doctor doing her, you know, I don't know if it's yearly or bi-yearly or every few years checkup. I don't know what it is. And she got a mammogram and all that, and it came back suspicious. And so she was told that she had to go get some other tests done. I don't totally remember all the details, but what I do remember is I was making burgers for us for dinner. Burgers from scratch. You know, like we had the meat, and then I make the patties using my special ingredients. It's a bit of a process, right? And I used to like those burgers a lot, but now I'm really over that recipe. I don't like it. And Lauren still likes it, though, but it's... ugh. I could not eat burgers for the rest of my life and be fine. But anyways, as I'm getting ready to make them, she calls me and tells me the news. And she's scared because, of course, he would be. Doctors don't throw around the C word, you know, very often. That's not... she wasn't diagnosed with it or anything like that, but they were concerned. And if they're concerned, obviously, you're concerned. So I just remember staring out the window of our kitchen while praying and also making the burgers. When she got home, we talked about it, what the next steps were, all that. And then she said, are you going to put, you know, like after we got done talking, she's like, I'm going to go grill those burgers now. And I was like, I don't think we should eat those burgers. I wasn't exactly in the right mind frame when I was making them. And I don't actually even remember making them. So I don't know what's in them. I could have put anything in there. I don't know. So I think we ordered something, takeout, whatever. But the God sighting in this story, however, wasn't that she got the all clear after having the more tests, you know, that she was healthy and that there was no cancer or anything like that. The God sighting in that situation, to me, at least, was God giving us both strength and willingness, you know, to say whatever may come, we're going to be together fighting for each other. There was no like poor Lauren and poor us and we have the worst luck and how can this be happening to us? No, it was like, okay, how are we going to do this knowing God is on our side? So, yeah, there's God sightings. They're all around us. There's big ones. There's small ones. I urge you to take the time after hearing this to reflect on those, you know, the things that God has done for you and that he is doing. Look for those God sightings in your life every day because they are all around us. And while you're doing that, remember the scripture in John 5:16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. And in his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. So yeah, look for those God sightings. By the way, I'm also writing a song called God Sightings. I have it about probably a third done. I'm looking into like how I'm going to record all these things and mix them, because I've been doing things through like GarageBand and all that, and it's just not cutting it for me. I want something that I can really make sound good. So I have probably 5 songs I've been working on that's in different levels of process of being done. But yeah, so that's what I had today. Sorry, I fell apart a few times in there. But you have a good week, and I'll see you next Wednesday. We'll be right back.